this is a first play in my eyes for the next battle of control of Bitcoin.
That's good.
We're back. Happy ETF approval day.
Ooh. What? Okay. Ooh.
I'm going to put it out there.
Okay.
You can't say that.
Well, I'm saying it.
Approved.
I'll be a bit awkward if it doesn't. I have to edit that bit out then.
Just do two alternatives and then do a start that says,
Oh, we didn't get approved.
Non-approval day.
Non-happy.
Yeah.
So we're recording this before we know if the approval happens, but obviously it's later today.
Yeah. We can come on to the drama from last night. Agenda, Bitcoin Duncan Yo-Yo, Bitwise study, VanEck are going to give some profits to core devs. Someone's tipped Satoshi a lot of money. BlackRock are laying off staff. What else we got? New Scientist, they published an anti-Bitcoin article. And then all that SEC drama from last night on Twitter.
Oof, you might as well start with that line, yeah?
Do you want to start with that?
Oh, start with the yo-yo. I'm more excited about
the yo-yo.
We can start with the yo-yo if you want.
Yeah, it's a nice,
first
quick,
ever
easy
Bitcoin
one.
Duncan yo-yo has officially been launched.
Cool. How did that even make
next one?
There's a new yo-yo.
Everything on this was about the ETF, so I was like, right, we need something outside of the ETF.
The first 5 minutes is supposed to be catchy, so I don't know if that's going to make the cut.
Okay.
Oh, this is, who does that
exclusive as well?
Whoa.
It actually looks quite good as
that's
well.
That's big news.
Who's designed
Collect and Hodl on the back as well.
Oh, I like that.
Amazing. That's his made. That's his made. If you go to Collect and Hodl's website, you can see all sorts of Bitcoin products.
We want to buy one, but we can't get access to them.
Right.
Because they're in, what, on Walmart, is it, Mikey? Is that what you
Walmart exclusive, yeah.
You might just order online.
Are they not an Asda then? For UK?
Not that I've seen, no.
I think it
just says,
like,
yeah, exclusively on Walmart.
But I think the products just transfer across.
Right, let's get hold of one of these yo-yos.
I'm going to the land of the free shortly. I could probably get one.
Oh, can you bring me back a yo-yo if I gave you $18?
You gave me $18.99, yes.
All right.
I'll
bring back all the yo-yos.
I have actually got dollars as well from...
Yo-yos for everyone.
Perfect. Yo-yos for everyone.
Yeah.
Can you guys actually yo-yo at all?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean...
The tricks?
No, I can't do any
tricks. I can't do tricks, but I can do the basic
Make it go down.
Yo-yo.
Up, yeah.
I think it almost does that on its own.
Yeah.
I used to be able to do one of
the tricks. Are cool.
Oh, of course you did.
What you want to see? What the
I bet you have one of those little finger BMXs, little skateboards.
I did have one of those.
One of the saddest things you'll ever see is a child that can't yo-yo. My house at Christmas was full of them.
Oh,
and they just
stays at the bottom.
It just stays at the bottom, and they just end up dragging it around. Gets the knots of the front away.
Yeah. Most of the fun comes from winding it up anyway.
Yeah. Stick Simon of that. It's the anticipation of then you go again.
Anyway, I'm really glad that made the agenda.
But
great.
A Bitcoin. The point I tagged it in the end is, apart from everything's ETF, mainstream products.
In a mainstream shop.
With Bitcoin branding. And we've seen the Bitcoin ETF adverts, TV adverts and things that they're doing.
When did Bitcoin Crocs come
Crocs?
About?
Yeah, that was
all the same company. You go to their website, they've got a Bitcoin baseball bat as well.
I think it was that not in thingy participation with Bitcoin Magazine, that the Crocs? I thought that was, or is it just, maybe they just announced it?
Crocs are in now.
It's just a bit of fun, isn't it?
But yeah.
It's a bit of fun.
But I'd buy a lot of them, but obviously we can't because we're
Would
in
you
the
buy
UK.
Some Crocs?
Yeah, I'll buy some Crocs.
Ugh.
Would you wear them?
Ick.
Anyway.
You're not a fan of Crocs, Mo?
Particularly wear Crocs. No.
Although I did read a really interesting thread the other day on Twitter about the guy behind the obsession with Stanley Cups is also the guy who made Crocs. Cool. You know, these big
Stanley Cup craze is mental.
Watch
videos of middle-aged women like fighting over them.
Yeah. I don't know what they are.
I don't. I'm lost.
Is that the cup that survived a car fall?
Yeah, that Fulham made them.
Yeah.
Sorry,
it's like a big, you know, like the big American style cups that you get and you go and
shop. Gallon cup.
Yeah, it's like one of them. But like Mikey was saying, a car caught fire recently and that Stanley Cup was the only thing that survived in the car.
Right.
So then they spun it into a marketing thing where they basically bought the person, they bought the woman a brand new car.
Right.
I'm calling it. It was a marketing campaign.
From the start.
Yeah, from the start.
What they actually set fire to
the car on purpose.
Yeah, and then just
put the cup in.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit
charred. Yeah.
As in that.
Put a bit of ash on it.
it's like the Nike one. You see the Nike adverts where it was like the guy on the slide and lands in the little paddling pool at the end.
Mm.
And it's like, he's got like Nike shorts on, but it's a Nike advert and it's all done. It's not real. And it's like,
why would you need a cup that can survive a car fire? Why is that? Everyone, why is that initiate some demand?
Is that not what you
know? But if you're going to buy a cup, you may as well buy the one that can survive.
Yeah, it's just it's not a downside.
Because you often take cups into your car.
Yeah, but if my car was on fire, I wouldn't be like, oh, my bloody cup. It's not Stanley. It won't survive. I can't be like, oh, God, I'm glad I'm not on fire.
I can't remember the jazz. I took a cup. If you're celebrating, the jazz is on fire. Anyway, Bitcoin product coming into more mainstream Bitcoin Stanley products.
Cup, that's next.
I think it's quite good to see it's like the Bitcoin brand being pushed out there more into mainstream, which I think is not a bad thing to see, really.
I don't know. It's just people trying to make a quick buck, trying to make souvenirs on something.
They do look a bit tacky, don't they?
They're doing the marketing for Bitcoin, so let them.
Okay, but the more we see that little bee out in the wild, the better.
Do you think?
I agree.
But what is the perception not a bit jokey at that point?
No, it becomes recognizable as a
normalizing it, isn't it?
It's like having the dollar symbol. People used to have like the dollar symbol on hats and tops and everything.
You think this is a gateway into people understanding the fundamentals of Bitcoin and the freedom that it can bring because it's a bee on a yo-yo? Yes,
completely. There has to be a part where
it's a bit of a reach.
That's how it's been reached out there historically. The Bitcoin brand in itself has become recognizable now throughout the world. And then once it's recognizable, the next step is you start to say, okay, what is that? And then you learn it.
And is it ek in the pod is also always welcome.
Is it ek?
Sometimes he doesn't even know it's slipped into
it. That's probably a cool one to Van Eck then.
Yeah, I know that as well.
That'd be a great segue. Anyway.
But yeah, I think it's good.
Okay.
It's positive.
Yeah, I'm not so keen.
It should be on our marketing, isn't it?
Yeah, from the manufacturer's point of view and stuff, I assume there's like no copyright issues. They can use the B, so it's like
a popular thing.
And copy, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be smashing Mickey Mouse on it soon, will they not?
Yeah.
Right, so it's a no for Coin Corner branded.
Steamboat Willie they can use, but they can't use.
The original Mickey Mouse can now be used.
Can be used now?
Yeah, I think the thing ran out this last month.
It was recently, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. It was recently.
They used to change. Was there not a Mickey Mouse law where they used to change copyright law every time Mickey Mouse was coming up to the expiry date on his copyright? And they'd lobby the government and then they'd keep changing the rules.
Jan 24.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse officially in the public domain.
Yeah, but only the Steamboat Willie iteration. Yeah,
the original.
Yeah. What do you mean only? It's a classic.
Would you?
Sorry, you're really showing your age.
So we've got a new mascot now.
Let's argue with Mikey on Edison.
Like, you can't use this guy.
Don't put him on here then.
Put the Steamboat Willie one.
Do we have to block him out from the screen?
Steamboat Willie one. You might as well Mickey Mouse, do you? I don't know.
It's
the original
bell. Is
he not called Mickey Mouse then?
Yes, he's called Mickey Mouse, but it was
ringing. Is he?
As far as
it's Mickey Mouse in Steamboat Willie.
Okay. Oh. It's not that much different to the current Mickey Mouse, is it?
No.
It's just like a rebranded version.
Sure, that's a bit.
Yeah. When we added Steamboat Willie into our logo.
Soon.
Now we go.
Cool.
Right. Sorry. Done talking about yours. Bitwise study finds that only 39% of financial advisors believe a Bitcoin ETF will be approved in 2024.
Yeah, this isn't an old study either.
This is,
I know, but imagine thinking that.
They're going to find out soon, aren't they?
Mm. So I had a little look at this survey. I thought it was pretty interesting in terms of the highlights from it. It's kind of obvious, but there's some nuggets in there that I thought quite interesting. So I got them printed out just because I do a bit of prep.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. Vast majority see it as a catalyst for price movement. I think that's a bit of an obvious one. But they do talk about access to crypto still being limited. Only 19% of advisors said they were able to buy crypto in client accounts. So it is still a problem for them to get access to them. But once those clients are invested, they do stick around.
I'd love to know, when they say it's a problem, they can't do it. It's like we spoke to a lot of financial advisors, haven't we? Mm. And we actually found out that they can, just the company chooses not to. The company doesn't allow it in their own internal policies that they can buy Bitcoin, where actually they legally can go and do it. I wonder if how many of them people answering are even clued up and understand.
Well, because they've said they were able to. That doesn't necessarily mean they can or they can't.
It's they all like, thought they weren't able to.
Yeah.
And then when we had the conversation with them, they realized they could, and it was like, oh, it's just our internal policy means we can't. Yeah. It was never a legal issue. It was an internal policy issue, not an educated issue.
71% of the advisors interviewed prefer Bitcoin to Ethereum, which is a huge increase on previous years when they were interviewed. So there seems to be some separation there.
But what about Solana?
Yeah, they haven't even talked about Solana or Rocky or any of the
Rocky
or any of the altcoins. Yeah, they've done.
What about a gently used Honda Civic?
Right.
This crops up. So people listening, this crops up. There's an amazing new altcoin called a gently used 2001 Honda Civic, which got a lot of attention in our office. In our office, I'm saying.
I mean.
It's an entertaining thing. And it's actually just... the description of what this cryptocurrency is it is just a Honda 2001 Civic.
I like that it had the specifications of the car. So the fundamental principles of this coin were just the car specs.
Instead of BDC, it's a used car.
So yeah, there's never going
to
be...
We do sometimes like to have a little look at these and see what's coming on, don't we?
There's going to be a never-ending list of entertaining coins,
just
I'm sure.
It's about to re-enter the army, I think.
Yeah, as bull market comes... Expect the crazy altcoins.
Yeah, so this Bitwise survey, there's nothing really unexpected. It was just a bits and pieces saying that they have got a lot of clients out there. There's strong interest. 88% of advisors receive a question about crypto. So it's the market's turning their way. They just don't have access to it at the moment, and that's why they see the ETF as a catalyst for that access. So that's what I thought was pretty interesting.
Shows more lack of education, I think, though, for that.
I guess, they're just not paying attention to what's going on because 39% is a low number.
Well, they're saying that they don't think it's going to be approved, but they're also saying because they don't have access to it. When they do have access to it, they just don't realise that it's just a lack of, it's not caring. And for me, that then skews them figures and makes it think it's not particularly a great report.
What do you mean? Like, I mean,
because they're asking uneducated people on even their own jobs. That
I know, but these people advise a lot of has a huge population, so that's why it's quite interesting.
And they're advising that we're not allowed to buy Bitcoin when they actually are.
It's a good little litmus test, though, in terms of how that
it's uneducated.
That market,
it shows the uneducated side.
Well, I think
more than actual useful factual information.
Okay,
I think it's a big part of it is the traditional financial advisors are lazy. They just stick within their lanes, don't they? I'm not, no offense, well, actually full offense to them, you're not paid attention to Bitcoin.
I mean, they only got 400 to actually do the survey.
Yeah, 407. Yeah.
It's quite low, isn't it?
It is quite low, yeah. I feel like we've had that.
So if they are lazy, they're just too lazy to even do a survey.
But they've been too late. They stay in their lane and they stay in what they're told by their company what they can do.
Yeah,
and
but
that's
there are,
the problem.
Yeah, there are indicators within that survey that are quite bullish towards Bitcoin. They say like 98% of those that can allocate have either increased or maintained their positions in crypto. So this isn't a short-term bull run position. This is just, this is the new investment portfolios.
Because I feel like it's coming from uneducated people that are not quite sure what they're talking about.
I don't know, 437, you can't just sweepingly say that all of them are uneducated.
No, the ones that I've said that...
We've spoken to a few when we were pretty shocked at how much they didn't know.
Well, look at... Sorry, go back to the stat you've just said there of how many say they are unable to access it.
Only 19% of advisors said they're able to buy crypto in client accounts.
Talking
about access.
81% there, math's right, 81% are ignoring the fact that it can be done and saying it can't be done because 19% are doing it.
Yeah.
So legally it can be done. The 81% are just ignoring the fact that it can be done and saying, oh, it can't be done, so that's why...
Within their company, it can't be done.
Within their company policies, it can't be done, or they've not even tried.
Yeah.
Is the other side.
Yeah.
So it just makes you show that they're lazy, stayed in their lanes. They've not tried to push the barriers to anything and not tried to boundaries.
Could also be an indication of the structure of their client accounts and who those are held with. I mean, there could be a banking partner issue.
Could be, yeah. But yeah, you go if you want to buy Bitcoin and you want it that bad, you go and find a way to do it.
Well, that's what they also say that, because a lot of them are what the held away assets. So where a client can't get access via the financial advisors, they
find a way around it.
It's held away, yeah. So that's growing. So they just get Bitcoin anyway.
Yeah. But it's still the 81%, big percentage.
Yeah, but it's a big ship we're turning here in terms of financial freedom. It'd take a bit.
I'm just highlighting that I don't take this. People have jumped all over Twitter saying this is an amazing survey, and I just don't find it very. I'm not. It's the information is not substantial enough for me in terms of I understand who them financial advisors would be, and that one stat there highlights what I'm talking about. 81% that say they're unable to do it. Well, if they're unable, why are 19% able to? It's an internal policy thing, not a legal regulatory thing. Mm. They could do if they wanted to or cared to go and try.
Well, fair enough. Then. I liked it Bitwise. Keep up the good work. I hate surveys in general. So yeah. Okay, can be useful though. Surely. All right, fine. Yeah. Forget it.
Idiots for statistics. Surveys have to be done. Surveys have to be done. And you usually see them, there's usually like 1,000 in a survey, isn't there, for a lot of it. And they're trying to use that for percentages around all sorts of things. And it's better than nothing.
So how many financial advisors are there in the US, and what is 437 as a percentage of that?
Yeah. Why does it matter when 437 is a big enough sample?
Survey for that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What percentage of the
saying it's not big
financial advisors across the US are you actually saying surveying?
A big enough sample to get an indicative opinion.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, then that's 240,000.
Yeah, but okay. Within a reasonable...
Maybe you guys were busy.
We're just destroying Dave's research.
I'm saying it.
I'm not destroying it. It's, you know.
I think it's a big enough sample to get an impression of what that industry's thinking.
0.1, be generous,
0.2%.
Mm.
Okay.
The thing is, that's
not bad.
Probably not for statistics.
Okay. Let's leave it there.
Right, moving on.
Not bad.
Not bad.
We're good.
No, it's not bad.
I'd describe it as the ship is slowly turning. Right?
I agree. Great big that thing. Sentiment you can see in that. Yeah.
Financial advisors aren't, they're not one manning the wheel turning it.
They're just on it.
It doesn't matter what turns.
No, I'm just saying. Danny's point, they're
staying in their lane.
They're just on the ship. It's being turned.
Okay. It's my analogy.
I'll
say what's turning.
Okay.
Mickey Mouse is turning it. He's
Steamboat Willie driving that ship.
Right. VanEck, they've pledged 5% of spot Bitcoin ETF profits to core devs.
How could you hate this? Oh, that's brilliant.
Hate this as well.
Nice one, VanEck.
Right.
No. Come on. VanEck.
You think it'll have some influence in the long run?
This is a first play in my eyes for the next battle of control of Bitcoin, of who controls Bitcoin. They are going to be donating this money. I think the saving grace in some way, I think they're donating it to Thingy, aren't they, UK? John?
Yeah, Brink.
Brink, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they're donating it to Brink. Brink will then issue it out to people. So I think there's a little bit of a saving grace in that, which I can appreciate. But it's scary when you think these guys, you know, imagine BlackRock saying, right, we're going to donate 10% to developers and we're going to issue this out ourselves rather than go through Brink.
Yeah.
And we're going to give it to these 20 developers and they will then try and dictate what they are working on Bitcoin Core and what changes in Bitcoin. And they will then try and have their influence on Bitcoin because for their agenda. We've seen this in the past from companies.
Do you think it would be that nefarious? Because like VanEck won't, like they need Bitcoin to survive and not have those sort of splintering problems. So you need Bitcoin core developers probably to grow in number. Would that not help that? So
yeah, but they need the scarcity of it to survive. So this is exactly the same as the block size wars. And you go back to that and BitPay and Coinbase and all that. They were pushing for bigger blocks and they were wrong and they pushed for bigger blocks and they lost eventually. But they used everything they could to push back. And there was obviously community four and community one. But they did it for their agenda, not for Bitcoin. BitPay needed it because it was destroying their business model. They needed them bigger blocks to maintain what they could do as a business. And that's why the likes of VanEck and BlackRock and everyone will eventually...
But they do need to be supported, the core devs.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So how do you support them without that?
Through bridges. That's what I said, that's the saving grace.
Okay, and that's what they're doing.
I don't like it because it's the start of what would become.
Yeah.
And I don't believe for a minute any of them are going to be good actors in what they're doing. Why have they not already been doing it?
Yeah.
Why are they only all of a sudden doing it? Because it fits their agenda, because now they have a Bitcoin product and now it becomes...
Well, they're reliant on it.
Yeah, now they are. Before, they didn't care. But now they are. Now they're reliant and now they need the Bitcoin price to stay high or to move.
Can someone explain what Brink is to me?
Brink is a company settled by...
we can't get that on the Twitter account. It's just basically Bitcoin Core dev sort of company that takes in donations and then distributes some donations to different core devs.
Right.
Think of it just like that, simply.
So why is there less of an influence problem going to Brink and not...
It's been sold by a core developer who was very much on training, teaching people, doing everything. So he's kind of set that up to try and bring the cash in to then distribute out to other core devs and help.
And as an entity, you have to manipulate more than just one person at that point.
How do they... I might have to go research in terms of how they distribute. Is it based on the amount of works? Like how do they... Is it even? In terms of, do you just get some sort of register?
Yeah, I think you can like request for a grant. I think they did hire one full-time core developer when they initially launched.
You say you're going to work on this for Bitcoin.
Yeah,
core.
I see. Yeah.
You get the grant off in size. Don't know how they allocate.
So right, I'll have a little look at the program, see if there's anything I can do.
Yeah, looks like they train new developers and also support existing developers.
Okay, that's class then.
They do a yearly... Did they do the yearly meal? Is that the...
I'm not sure.
Was it them that did that? Who's the other guys that did that? In the US, in New York? I forgot what they're called.
Chaincode,
yeah. And they do like the yearly one, don't they?
Yeah.
People.
So helping train core devs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I think if you listen to the... I agree with you, Danny, on everything. If you listen to the VanEck CEO...
That's so sweet.
Just screw you, Dave.
Yeah. I agree with you on everything.
If you listen to the VanEck CEO, his intentions seem genuine and maybe... Who's to say?
We've seen that in the past.
Sounds like you're agreeing with me.
And VanEck, out of all of them, seem to be the most Bitcoin-y ones of the ETFs. Like, their ticker's HODL, I think.
Yeah.
They're doing this.
They're playing the game.
Their advert was very Bitcoin-y.
But Twitter's been very Bitcoin-centric for like the last couple.
So are they playing the game or...?
They're playing the game because it's a new product they're launching that they need to be the winner of. And there's going to be, you know, if there's a handful of winners in a couple of years' time of Bitcoin
ETFs, but you've got to figure...
They're trying to fight for that.
Yeah, but you've got to remember who their audience is. They don't have to be Bitcoin-y, do they? If they're after institutional
money...
It's
not necessarily their
audience. Like, it's not coming from community, but they're getting their
investment to help drive the marketing of it and push it. And we're the ones that are retweeting that video and interacting with that.
Yeah, but the institutions why the ETFs aren't on Twitter.
The people that work in them companies will be. And the Bitcoin community, as they retweet things and share that, it goes viral, spreads. And that's when them people that work at the institutions will see that. Otherwise, how do they reach them institutions? They wouldn't have a market in play. So it's probably the best market in play they can think
of. How they normally reach them with their ETFs? Airport boards
on the phone calls, direct contact, isn't it?
Mm.
But yeah, VanEck are definitely doing the best job in terms of in the community, kind of looking like Bitcoiners.
I don't like it though,
but yeah,
I don't like it.
As I said, I agree with everything Danny said,
but okay. sound like you disagreed, but then
but I do agree.
Everything what you made was in disagreement with him.
But I agree.
But okay, fine.
It's scary. It could be a block size wars again at some point in the future.
I'm sure it will be, yeah.
ETFs. And then for me, in my head, it'll be with nations at some point as well in the future.
Anyone else raise those similar concerns?
Yeah, I think I've seen a few. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All you need is BlackRock decide they want to increase the supply for whatever reason.
Yeah, change the size from 1 meg to 2 meg because for them, that means more people will be able to, in theory, in their heads, more people will be able to use it and so on, and they'll get more people and the price will go up and et cetera. So there's always going to be someone coming in to try and fix Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And that's what these guys will do for their agenda.
Hmm.
It's a fine balancing act going forwards with these.
I think we're lucky in the fact that the Bitcoin core devs at the moment, I'd say the majority have a lot of integrity and wouldn't kind of sway to the influence of corporations.
But we've seen some of them
Absolutely.
Like if you go back to the old days when you had Jeff Karczek and thingy and all that, they wanted bigger blocks, a lot of them, and they fought against it. But they were also donated by, through I think Coinbase and BitPay and the likes were actually donating to some of these guys.
Could this change the incentive of a core dev? Because like it used to, you know, I presume a lot of them got into it not for any sort of financial gain, but just for the fundamentals of what Bitcoin is.
A lot of struggle year to year to get rents.
And now people might be getting into it because actually there's a financial incentive.
Yeah. We'll look at Luke Dash in some way as well. I mean, he's did core development for many years, taking no donations from anything apart from like on his GitHub. But then obviously he lost all his Bitcoin recently, and then he's now had to go off and do private, it's a mining company, do Notion mining. But he's had to go and do that now, which pulls him away from Bitcoin Core because he needs the cash. Financial incentive has driven Luke. I don't know how far away from Bitcoin Core he's going to be now in terms of development.
Didn't he get paid to do that pull request for the Covenant stuff? Yeah, like 10K or something. Yeah.
Did he do it?
He did the PR boy. He says, I don't need to help you
agree with it or something.
Yeah, he didn't agree with it. But
that's exactly my point.
Yeah, but if the work's there and done, it makes it easier for them to try and push that through.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's definitely going to be another block size wars style at some point.
Mm.
Be prepared.
Okay.
Someone tips Satoshi 1.17 million. They sent 26.9 Bitcoin to the Genesis wallet. This was interesting. I saw a theory that it was about Craig Wright.
Yeah.
If he wasn't in control of that address, he could have had it.
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say it might have been N-Chain, was it? Someone
paid him money that they think he owed him.
Instead of giving him a check, they sent it to the wallet address that he claimed he owned.
Yeah, would they not make it, if that was what happened, would they not say that? Why would they not? Why would they do something so funny and trolly without saying out?
It's either an accident from somebody.
Yeah.
That one makes more sense. I saw the other conspiracy one of which makes absolutely zero sense in my head, but they were saying, they think they've done it, which got a lot of attention as well. That's they've done it so they can weed out who Satoshi is, because he's now received X amount of million, which is over the threshold for the IRS in the US. So you'd have to report it, otherwise he's illegally not reporting it. But realistically, you could just say, I don't own them keys. I've lost them keys. They don't exist anymore. Mm. And they wouldn't. He also may not be in the US, but probably US people think the world is the US.
They think that is the
world. So he's probably not in a place to even cry and bother with it anyway. So I don't think that would be also a thing. Mm. Interesting one to see if anything comes out of.
Mm. I presume they're just never going to move. That'll be the end of it.
They've never moved in the past, so can't imagine them moving for that. The guy, Satoshi, sat there on a million Bitcoin, so I don't think 29's going to do.
It might just be a mistake, and someone just there going, oh God,
I'm going to get there.
I assume,
it's the most public address that you can make a mistake into.
You have to find Satoshi to get them back.
Yeah.
It has to be a mistake.
Seems like the start of a great movie.
Yeah. The bank of the end. Yeah,
it's got a journey.
Excellent.
That was the funds to build an orphanage.
BlackRock, they're laying off 600 staff as it pulls back from the ESG.
Mm.
Down with the planet.
3% of their
staff. Is it ESG the department, or is it ESG ETFs, like their funds? Because across Europe, and you've probably seen it in the Bitcoin ETF, everyone's smashing fees down. There is an ETF fee war going on because they have had limited inflows into some of the ETFs. Like the cost of living crisis hits everyone, so people aren't looking to put money into niche ETFs at the moment, potentially. And obviously, if BlackRock gets a lot of its fees from these ETFs, then it's not making as much money. Have to lay stuff off. It's just the world as it is. I don't think it's a reflection on ESG per se.
I think it is.
But if you have to lay staff off, then
you probably lay them off from your least profitable.
Yeah. I think you're forgetting
sectors.
Yeah. Forgetting a story we spoke about on the pod a while back, that
no one cares about ESG.
Aramco CEO went on the board of BlackRock, and BlackRock did the report saying ESG is a what did they call it? It was basically ESG is a load of rubbish, basically. Yeah. And it's actually been didn't say it's been detrimental, but it's not in, it's not helped the environment. And they were pulling back, weren't they, BlackRock, on the whole ESG side. So I'm assuming it's just
great. Look, is it? We're going to hire. The CEO of the world's biggest oil company, and then get rid of all our ESG stuff.
And then BlackRock did an ESG report saying that the ESG movement was not really doing much, so they're pulling back on it. So I'm assuming this layoff is due to that, is my, what I had in my head. It was a report from, it might have been about 6 months ago, was it maybe?
Yeah, I remember it. Bit of both then, perhaps.
Yeah.
Did you see their latest last minute change to their ETF fees like half an hour ago?
Just before it came in, yeah.
You smashed that down. 0.12% for the first $5 billion, and then it's going up to like 0.2 something.
I mean, they're giving you a figure there of they expect $5 billion at some point, obviously, before it increases.
That's mad. Yeah. Mad volume.
I saw some, there was, you're seeing a lot. I mean, some of them, is it Standard Chartered Bank, or whatever they're called? Like the stuff that it just seems ridiculous what they're coming out with sometimes with some of these estimates and prices.
Or what they said, 100K by the end of the year.
Yeah, it's just, I mean.
They said 200K, didn't they?
200 by 2025.
200K by 2025 of ETFs approved.
All right.
But they did, no, they said 100 first.
They ran numbers in this as well, didn't they? They had numbers in how they got to that, I think.
But there's a lot of stuff they didn't take into account.
Inflows of 50 to 100 billion in ETFs.
What didn't they take into account?
It was things like the liquidity on the exchanges and liquidity available, Bitcoin available. I don't know, did they take into account the halving? I'm not even sure if they took that into account.
I don't think so.
I think they've just done
the ETF inflows.
Basic math.
Yeah.
Like,
no mention of halving.
So you're saying that
those guys call it moon math.
There you go. Yeah.
I like it. I like that.
Moon math.
Basic moon math. Do that every day.
It wasn't, particularly good. And I saw some other people that are a bit more clued up on ETFs and stuff like that. They were expecting about 50 billion inflows in 2024. These guys were expecting 100 billion, weren't they?
I'm not really seeing anyone. I know we have internally talked about like the potential liquidity issues and actually getting hold of that.
1.4 million on exchanges, I think, at the minute. 1.4 million Bitcoin, I think, is held on exchanges, I think, at the minute. May I want to verify that fact from somewhere, but I think that's correct. Or roughly around there. So yeah, that, how many is that? What price would that be then for that many? You might not be able to get it from somewhere easy, to be honest.
So now a total, is it?
Total.
This is at the bottom. Oh, there you go, 1.8.
So you're saying there's not enough?
1.8 million.
The price will have increase and cause sell pressure, but it still won't be enough.
So I think there's a cut. So it will, I agree. And then people will still have a price point they'll want to sell at.
Yeah.
But I also think that 1.8 million is also not available. Even though it's on exchanges in theory, we know that from ourselves, and the others will be exactly the same. You will have customers that forgot they've got Bitcoin, or they've, you know, they'll come back. They kind of forget and they remember years later, don't they, and things. So over the next sort of 6 to 12 months, a lot of them that hold Bitcoin with us might not even log into their account and might not pay attention properly, or they're in it for the long run anyway. So we know that there's probably, I mean, how much as percentage wise has our balance moved in the last couple of years? It's probably not even like 10%, is it 10, 20% max in terms of fluctuations of that balance? Most of them just hold it, don't do anything with it. So, you know, of that 1.8 million,
not a lot of sellers out there either.
No, it's market makers and people that are a bit more maybe active in the space, or people that need to sell when they need to pay a bill or something. Or,
and we've seen even when Grayscale was buying up as a single entity, they were buying more than that was being mined every month.
Yeah,
that's without this halvening and all these ETFs,
and the price was grinding up. So 1.8 million is not a lot to be available, and I appreciate some will come onto it. People will have it in cold storage themselves, and they'll move it onto the exchanges to do what they need to do. But I'm not sure that'll weigh out or even out exactly an equilibrium of what that'll look like. And then the halving coming in reduces it.
Yeah, where he's saying there between 437,000 and 1.3 million Bitcoin will be held at spot Bitcoin ETFs. So they're expecting to pretty much buy it all up
everything that's available exchange.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know full well you wouldn't be able to get that from what currently sits on exchanges, because there'll be 50% that'll just sit there because people have forgot or not bothered about moving it or selling.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to anticipate what the potential inflows will actually end up being, because there's macro elements in there as well.
To explain that as well, sorry, just to clarify on that, ours, I'm talking about, we've been through bull markets and that people have not come and sold.
No.
People have still, even when it's hit all-time highs, you've still got people that'll just hold the Bitcoin, so the Bitcoin balance has never really changed. It's just slowly increased, I guess, in some way over time. So yeah, new all-time highs won't necessarily mean that everyone will want to sell, because clearly in the past they haven't, from our experience.
Cool. Last topic was well, the SEC drama last night.
You talk us through it, Molly. You were all over Twitter.
Absolutely.
What happened?
So the SEC put out a tweet basically saying that they had approved the ETFs, and then everybody jumped on it, and the Bitcoin magazine, they picked that up fast. They had a story like turned around in minutes.
Because everyone's got their stories ready, right?
It was ready.
So they were just like, oh, let's go.
And then while everyone was celebrating, Gary Gensler tweeted out that the SEC account had actually been compromised.
The first tweet looked pretty legit though.
It's
all been deleted now though.
Yeah.
Because I saw it, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's happening. I was expecting it to happen after market. So it was after 4 in America, which would be I thought it would happen.
Yeah. But then I think you had half the people celebrating the fact that it had apparently been approved and hadn't seen the update, and then the other half of people angry and going after the SEC for the tweet. So yeah, it's quite wild. The memes, Twitter was alive.
Oh my God, I had to put my phone, I was just putting the phone away and just read my book. Get away from that.
I missed it all. I missed the whole thing. Like, come back just after it all.
Wow, it was chaos. But yeah, there's... And then people, basically Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, has basically tweeted out saying that, yeah, they can confirm that the account was compromised. Yeah.
Oh. And they didn't have to avail on Twitter out.
Which was ironic.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, it's ironic because the SEC has put out tweets before saying, like, tips to secure, like, how to be safe. Like,
Elon must have been rubbing his head.
It was literally like, make sure you have strong passwords.
Yeah, use two-factor.
Well, Elon's tweet was the password should be 123 doggy coin.
Oh yeah,
that's like, oh god, he's even trolling him now.
So yeah, it was a wild evening.
Yeah, of course. The shot himself completely in the foot.
Yeah,
this is crazy.
Didn't the account initially just tweet like hashtag Bitcoin? Then they deleted that
afterwards. They did, yeah.
Oh, afterwards.
I think they followed up with that tweet. I don't know. I can't remember. I didn't see that one. But yeah, just madness. But now I feel like if they announce today, it's going to be really underwhelming.
Yeah. It's indicative of what might happen again to the price, though.
It is.
People did.
I think they'll get the same response.
People did sell the news.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
Look at the spike. This is what I was trying to look at earlier, but I didn't get time properly.
Hey.
The spike up when it got to 48.
Yeah, but that's not a detailed enough chart, you need to move up. If you move on to this, where you can see the timeline of the tweets and the price, you'll see that the price actually went down before it was confirmed that it was a hack.
Because everybody thought, I think there was already speculation, wasn't there, that people were saying
tweet was the first indication that it was.
No. I mean, the obvious indication that wasn't is, why would they announce it on Twitter?
Yeah, there was nothing.
No.
There was nothing on the website.
Is that people sold the news?
No, people went and checked the website. There was nothing on the website, so they couldn't confirm it.
Basically, a mass load of people sold the news.
So I don't think. No, I disagree. If Dave said,
I hope you're sharing that chart.
So even though the account was compromised, it could have still been a tweet that they had in drafts ready. Is that a working theory?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, that's a decent chart as to say exactly what happened last night.
That is good, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I did have that lined up because I knew you'd be against that.
They have to investigate themselves. Why did I see that? They have to investigate themselves for market manipulation.
Yeah. Trust us.
Yeah. I saw Senator Warren, is she called?
Yeah.
She's called them out and said they need transparency and they need to tell
the leader of the Bitcoin wars. Yeah. She's not. It's a bit crypto, I mean. It's such a bad play. He's had a bad year.
He's going to get a like BlackRock, though.
He should have stayed at MIT.
Yeah.
He's got like a guaranteed job at one of these ETFs after. Yeah. Stroll into BlackRock.
Sit there and do nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Even like, why would he, like, if it's going to get approved today, which I think it might be, why wouldn't he just let it slide and just go? So there must be some sort of legal documentation that hasn't been quite processed, finalized. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just kind like, of just gone with it. Just
a bit of when
he saw it after, I bet he's just like, oh, no.
All this effort we've gone
through. It's just such a bad look.
It all playing out on Twitter as well is just makes it all a bit more hilarious.
So it was all over Bloomberg straight away. So it's not just, wasn't just Twitter alone. BBC picked it up instantly. Mm.
Well, I think CNBC were also reporting on it, but they hadn't realised that it had actually been retracted. So
this is the issue. It's like, yeah.
What do you believe?
Just because it's announced on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah.
It needs to be on the website.
It's wild.
Can I ask then, Dave? Quick question.
Okay, he's trying to get revenge. Now, move on to the next article. Go on, do you want a mining update?
Can I ask? I was going to tweet this last night because I was confused myself. All right.
Which one's the real one?
Sell the news concept that people are coming up with.
What does that mean?
You buy a rumor and sell on the news because the news is never as good as the rumor.
Right.
So it ramps up slowly, like we're seeing probably with the ETFs, and then just sell it.
But this is how the most people do.
But normally, that would be something that's like a.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Someone's buying it and putting it on the balance sheet, for example, like Tesla have done. But at that point, they've already bought it, which is why the reason it's gone up in the rumor and stuff. This is a. If this goes live and it is approved, why would you sell the news at that point?
I completely agree.
So what's the logic to anybody selling the news on something like this as approval?
Honestly, I think it's just people trading because they could then get in on the dip on anticipation.
Like short-term selling.
Yeah, but extremely short-term, you'd see it bounce back. But
so it's
heavily because you can't have... in most cases where people buy rumour and sell news, it's because of, say, like Tesla to report sales figures and people say it's going to be better than expectation.
And it's already
happened. And then when it does happen, it's never as good as people thought. Oh, it's going to be massive news. And the rumour mill starts and you buy in then.
But this doesn't work that way.
No, because they can't seed it prior.
This is anything new.
So they can't... They can seed it, but they can't buy the Bitcoin with that seed funding.
Without the approval.
Which fundamentally, because it's such a simple model of supply and demand, would mean that the price would rise.
This news is essentially telling you can front run this because
so the only people pushing for a sell the news agenda are people that are going to short-term traders to try and get back in.
But a lot of people are looking at it so adamantly, and because liquidity is not that much,
they've tried to mean
it
almost,
can still happen.
Yeah, they've tried to mean much almost to short into, what do you call it, self-fulfilling prophecy. Effectively, they're trying to push that as because there is no logical thought process as to why it would be a sell on news.
But to me, that's what it looks like. It looks like that's what happened.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting. Well,
yeah, but I do agree. It's not that same play.
I couldn't understand people's logic for why are they saying sell the news. Like, what was their thought process around it? And still keep seeing people crop up on Twitter saying about it.
It's such a TradFi thing.
They've just heard it from the guy next door, so they're just saying the same thing. It's like the
sell the news does seem like. It's like you don't really have to come. What does it mean? It just goes down when an announcement happens.
Yeah, it's just silly. In my head, it's meaningless for the bigger picture, I guess, is where I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
It's a meaningless statement for the bigger picture.
It's meaningless for any long-term holder.
Yeah.
Really. No. Anyway.
I think I missed that one off.
You did.
This is one I flagged.
Yeah, New Scientist published an anti-Bitcoin article and they got community noted.
Yeah, New Scientist, supposedly a reputable kind of science publication, over 4 million followers on Twitter. They published like an anti-Bitcoin. They basically indicated that the government should shut Bitcoin down because the core developers refused to make it more environmentally friendly. And then I got cut off because it was paywalled. So they tweeted out, obviously, and then it got community noted pretty much immediately.
Mm. What does community noted mean?
So if you scroll down Twitter, I have this thing where the community can add notes to an article about, you know, misinformation and that kind of thing.
It's incorrect.
How can you add notes? Like, is it a paid thing?
I don't know. I've never done it.
I've not tried it myself.
Yeah,
so people do. But then what did you know? Did you see what they did after that?
Yeah, so instead of like what a proper reputable company would do and maybe reassess the article and look at the data they're using, they just deleted the tweet and then reposted it later without a community note.
So but then that got community noted again.
So that shows very sneaky.
Did they soften it at all in terms of...
No,
it's exact same tweet, word for word.
So it's very sneaky of them to do that.
How do we get rid of this?
It then looks like propaganda. It is just...
It's obvious intention to...
Yeah, exactly.
My concern is, yes, us on Twitter can see this, but like if you find this article naturally, you don't see these community notes.
Yeah.
But we've been fighting for this for years, haven't we?
Yeah. It's just another highlight of... I saw in some of the comments people saying, oh, they do this in all industries, because you always think, well, they're experts in our industry, so we kind of see it.
Yeah.
And there's like, oh, they do this in Big Pharma. And
we wouldn't know that.
We wouldn't know that.
Don't understand that, yeah.
Do you like how they're using the Greenpeace skull, Bitcoin has adopted as their mascot?
It's a cool thing.
Love that sculpture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, the title of the article is, should nations try to ban Bitcoin because of its environmental impact?
No, they should embrace it because it helps the environment, which is what they're missing.
So yeah. Just highlighting, like we like to do, shoddy journalism.
Frustrating.
A
bit of sweeping there, Zach.
Yeah.
You should.
Oh, I was just sweeping this week. Yes.
You should make that a full-time feature.
Frustrating that people are still putting this out as well. Like, yeah. It just feels like this is. I've always said this. Like when you go back to like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, it's like, it feels like the same story over and over and over again. And you're fighting the same battles over and over again because somebody new's coming into the industry or paid attention finally and says, I'm here to fix Bitcoin, and we go again, and it's that same.
Imagine how many sort of similar articles we're going to get in the year coming. And to be fair, they've been against the trend that I think we looked at recently. They have been pro-environment.
They've got new agendas.
How much media does BlackRock earn? How much influence can they have over these writers?
Actually, we might get Liz a pro, but
which we started to.
BlackRock don't care about principles anyway.
No, they don't.
The worst thing about it for me is all these are like subscription-based publications. So the people actually reading this are paying for it. And because they are paying for it, I feel like they're more inclined to accept it as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so BlackRock earns both Fox News and Dominion Drones.
Shoddy
misinformation, essentially.
Okay, so
all right.
So they could be putting out.
There'll be more as well that they own, I'm sure.
Because they've got a big stake in Disney, don't they? Which I think Disney bought Fox, did they? I think.
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it. ESPN, wasn't it, recently?
Disney owned ESPN.
That whole thing. That was a different story, but yeah.
Okay. All right.
Go on then, Dave. Hit us up with a minor
update. No, I'm just going to give you a little minor update.
Go on.
So we've got the office stat we're referencing, aren't we? Go on.
Yeah, this is your stat, and it's a great stat. Yeah. It's sats per hour.
SPH.
SPH.
Sats per hour. We're currently on a 77.87 sats per hour, and this office is generating.
77 sats per hour.
Yep. How cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
How much heat does anyone else's home heat like create sats?
More than
none.
This.
Yeah.
So this building as an entity generates 77 sats per hour.
That's a big guess.
Yeah.
They're not as warm as I thought they were going to be. Yeah. I'm just wondering
if they use less power.
There's not
many. Wouldn't
crank them up then.
They could do, but then.
They'd be a bit noisier.
We can increase.
They're not that noisy at the minute, to be fair.
We haven't really pushed how far we can take them. We can go hotter within the chips, could get hotter. But at the moment, they're just nice. I think just trying to balance it a little bit.
We've got more coming. There's only like in the big main room, there's four upstairs. There's four up there, which is a big room to have four in. So
we've got some more coming.
More coming.
Personal ones.
No.
But it's really nice when it's right in front of you. You can just have one each.
No.
That'd be ideal.
No.
Is more going up in the main room, another two or three?
Three in the main room. We'll have one in every
little room.
Little room.
Yeah, one in a room this size does warm it up, okay, as long as people keep the door shut.
Mm-hmm.
If you looked at, say, the alternative option, the other heat we did have in here, so that runs at 2,000 watts, and that literally costs
zero sats per hour.
So if you run it for the same time period with the same electricity cost, that one will cost like £5 per day on our current one. And that heater that's running now, whilst the pod's ongoing, silently...
Mm.
Yeah, only costs us £2.30, but also generates sats.
Generates 77 sats per hour.
And eventually we'll have a break-even point. I'll let everyone know
what's our... You've got that word.
No, yeah, I had this. Maybe we'll just tease it.
Okay. How many years are we talking?
Do you know when you manipulate stats to make it look better?
If the price gets to a certain point, then we'll be generating revenue from.
Oh, did you not take into account the halving?
No.
You need to do it with the halving then. So going forwards, what would it be after the halving?
Yeah, I know.
And what's our price point?
But no. Because it was.
Wait until you see the numbers.
Yeah,
and then it might change your mind.
Yeah. Anyway,
but it doesn't mean to be. Doesn't need to be break even. The point is, it's in the room, and
yeah, exactly.
It's actually saving us money. So we need to know how it saves us over a year.
Yeah,
it's probably the more important figure.
Well,
in an electricity work out.
And we're pointing at Ocean still.
£3.10 a day. It's saving us.
Saving £3.
If you for like comparison with the heaters we could have bought,
we were using previously.
Yeah. It's not bad.
That is good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah.
I was going to mention something, I've forgotten it.
Yeah, we're still pointing at Ocean.
Yeah.
We've had two blocks since.
Yeah, we're having a good time exploring Ocean.
Mm-hmm. Play around.
Yeah. Cool. Workshop coming for every employee so they can all learn what we do.
I'm excited.
Are you going to sign up for the workshop?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you going to have one at home?
Yeah. I don't know how it works, but yeah.
Wait until after the workshop.
That's why I'm signing up for the workshop.
Yeah,
cool. What the workshop's for.
Yeah, ace.
Cool, anything else?
No, I just forget to mention the price at the beginning, though. So I saved that for the end.
We covered it and we went on to, what do we call it?
Speaking briefly, but we didn't show it, did we? That was all. We didn't mention. It has gone.
Oh, I'm on the generator. Yes.
That's the one we wanted.
The new price.
That's great.
The Honda Civic. We should clarify the Honda Civic is we are talking that in a joke capacity.
Yeah. Although you did call it amazing. I don't know. Not a financial advice.
Yeah. We've dipped a little bit here. What's good?
Yeah.
45,127. A little recent dip.
Went below 45 for a second though.
Last episode's price was 42, so.
That's a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People that was in the middle of the inverse Kramer.
Yeah,
Matrix report stuff.
Cool. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, cheers,
big
guys.
Big day ahead. Let's go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cheers, guys.
I left you.
Peace.
Cheerio.